Exodus chapter 3. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we ask and receive the wisdom that comes from you alone this morning. Clarity in the hearing of your word. There's no error in this atmosphere. Everyone sees you for who you are. Clearly, I see you on the throne, and we live here better than we came in. Amen. Amen. Exodus 3, we started a series on Wednesday, and I said we're going to be, this is one of those few teachings where we take both in the midweek services and on Sunday. It doesn't happen like that often. But God instructed that we take time to actually go through this teaching and not take breaks in between. So we're going to go that route, meaning that we're going to be taking it both during the midweek services and on Sunday services. Does that make sense? Exodus 3, take off your shoes. That's the... So if you were around on Wednesday, that song would not be strange. But for those who missed that, for one reason or the other, I wish you well. Don't miss services. Try to. Exodus 3. You know the story. Verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. By the way, I want to recommend a teaching this week. When people are big and God is small. I think we have a teaching like that. When people are big and God is small. Please take. And not led by the fear of man. Amen. So that will complement what we're teaching. Yeah, I love teachings on JC Media. I believe. Verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, that's unto Moses, out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That's an interesting sight, isn't it? Verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, and called him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So sometimes God is in the bush. Amen. Sometimes it's not in the palace. It's in the bush. Just kidding. All right. Basila. Verse 5. Can we verse 5 together, everybody? And he said, draw not near anymore. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Amen. So it's a familiar story. The bush was burning, and the bush was not burning. There was fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I've got to take a second look at this. This can just go like that. And as he was about to draw near, God said, hold up, come, put off your shoes from your feet. Put off your shoes from your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. So, we had a premise on Wednesday, a sound submission, where we said, God's presence demands a response. If you are where you have, I want to say the governor of the state, but let's say the president of the country, right now President Ashewa Ajibola Ahmed Tinubu, where you have the president of the country, if he walks in here, I mean, it's not a church gathering, let's say it's not a church gathering, this is a church gathering, amen. If he walks into your place of work, whether you voted for him or not, whether you ate him or not, you are obliged to stand up. We practice democracy, so some things might not happen, but if you go to places where the government is not, your sitting is your last sitting. They might force you to stand for the rest of your life. Why? Because the presence of the first citizen of that country demands a response from you. It's the same way with the national anthem. Because if the national anthem is a corporate, it revives a corporate honor. I remember in my own secondary school, I don't know about those of you who went to Asau Din and all. But in my own secondary school, wherever you are, when the national anthem is being sung, you stand still. How many of you had that in your secondary school? Good. So, for latecomers like Browell, I had a free ride not my dad. There's this woman that used to, she was a teacher. She worked at Baptist at Okado. So every morning, I just stand on the road and I know she'll pick me. Funny thing is that we don't say anything. She just parks and I enter and I say thank you at the end of the journey. I say good morning, ma. And at the end of the journey, I say thank you. And that's it. Amen. Good people everywhere. Amen. Some years ago, I tried to reach out to a daughter on Facebook. But she was not in the country and all of that. So I wanted to actually message the woman just to say thank you again. She did that for 3 good years. We didn't have any conversation. Just, good morning, ma. Good morning. And the radio is on. And thank you, ma, at the end of the journey. So I don't get to go late. Because, you know, teachers cannot go late. All right. But I look at latecomers, like Broadway and Bro Faith. Wherever you were standing, even if you were picking, because you know, as you are coming late, you just start, you just bend, you just start picking stuff, whatever was littered. The moment you hear, "Arise, O compatriots," the new national anthem, now I'm not very familiar with it. Nigeria, we OD. I'm not very familiar with it. Sorry, I'm just 16. I'll be 17 next week. Amen. And I observe, oh, this is some honor. You don't get to sing Ijo Fuji, Larry, and everybody stands still and say, Ijo Fuji. No. Because I don't have to honor that. How much more God's presence? And God said to Moses, stay where you are. Stand where you are. Take off those shoes. Because the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now, is he going to come back to this text, like I said on Wednesday? But go to 1 Samuel 2. So we said God's presence demands a response from us. In this instance, it was for Moses to take off his shoes. I said, I have no issue with people who do not wear shoes to church. I've got no issues with that. I don't think you should have an issue with that too. Your faith is not on the premise of whether you're putting on shoes or not. Amen. I'll advise you do. Hallelujah. You're not primitive. But I'm saying if someone for reason of conviction say they don't want to put on shoes, got nothing against it. 1 Samuel 2. The background is that there is a man, a prophet called Eli, who had 2 sons. We know the story, right? And his sons, now, for every prophet, they have a right to some of the offerings, some of the sacrifices. And that's what Paul will now teach to the church in Corinthians, that those who serve by the altar, they should eat of the altar. That is, and he told Timothy, he said, the laborer is worthy of his reward, of his wages. That is, those who preach and teach, those who labor in word and doctrine, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 17, should have access to the commonwealth of the same. Of course, we don't practice that directly in this church. But there's nothing wrong if the pastor is placed on salary. And I remember there was a church that reached out to me. And the pastor wanted to be. And he was like, would they not see me as a... I said, no, you can't be. He said, yeah, sir. I said, you can. Is that not better than when you start changing figures? Offering. Divert to pastor's account. I said, so be on salary. Contentment. Hallelujah. But that's not what we're talking about today. So, the sons of Aaron, and of Eli, and Eli himself, they had access to some of the offerings. But the ones that is not for them, they were also taking it. The one that belonged to God. So, they chopped what both belonged to God and what belonged to Caesar. Amen. They took Caesar's own. Looked like Caesar's own was not enough. They took what belonged to God. And if that was all, maybe God would not have really responded because he really does not take sacrifices made with hands. But it was not about the sacrifices. It was about the art. These 2 sons of Aaron, now they went beyond those sacrifices. They now started having affairs with the women who brought the sacrifices. Amen. Double sacrifice. Then God spoke up. Verse 27. So God now sent a man. There came a man of God unto Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I plainly appear to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give unto the house of your father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel? So God is saying, when your father's father, no, it's God that can talk like that. Sometimes we don't see him like that. Sometimes we don't deal with him like the same God that talked to Abraham. And God is looking at Eli and say, when did you come to this thing? When your father's 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 father, father's father was in Egypt, I chose him to be my prophet, to be my priest. Verse 29. Why are you kicking at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? Look at the Bible's place. And you honor your sons above me, and you make yourself fat, that is, you make yourself rich, with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Can we read verse 30? Together, everybody wants to go. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your fathers should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Amen. Good God, yeah? But that's a strong statement. God said, I said it. I said what I said. I chose your father to serve me, but no more. Strong, strong, strong. This is a life-defining statement. God said, I'm not going to do that again. I've changed my mind. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You won't be lightly esteemed. Amen. God says, I only honor those who honor me. Interesting. Who are those God honor again? Huh? I want you to answer yourself so that it doesn't look like I'm not saying it. Who are those God honors? Interesting. Now, notice, it wasn't God who changed. Really? God said, I've said your children will serve me. Your sons and sons and sons and sons. We all serve me. But that can't be anymore. Because you are not walking in honor. Your value has changed. Sometimes we can become over familiar and stop valuing things. We stop valuing the things of God. Sometimes our awareness of God can be taken lightly. I said on Wednesday, I said, when you sing, and you're singing to God, and you say, God of light and awesome glory, Lord, I worship you. Are you actually worshiping him, or you're just singing? Because we can actually sing without singing to him. Where it's just a mental ascent. It's not from the heart. And there is nothing worse than that in Christianity. That's one of the worst places a believer can be. Sometimes we get familiar. Get familiar with the name of Jesus. Get familiar with prayer. Especially if you're a pastor. Or you have the privilege to teach people in one capacity or the other. You can prepare a sermon. Preach it so well. And there's nothing. It's doing nothing to you. You can get familiar. May you not get familiar. Amen. Judas got familiar. This was Judas who was preaching a fellow man. See, believe in him. He was there for all the miracles. I'm very sure when Peter and John came back and said, we saw Elijah, and said, Judas was saying, Jesus! Jesus, Son of God! But he sold him for 30 pa. Amen. He sold him easily. They probably priced him. Just said, I want 60. Pharisee said, you know what the law is saying? We'll give you 20. Just say, 20. I know that he's not worth that much, but you are talking about you guys need him. Oh. I don't need him. Oh. Say, what will you take? Just say, I can't take anything less than 40. Pharisee, we are let's meet in the middle. He was now selling Jesus. He ended badly. Why? Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It's not debatable. It's God's way of doing things. It's a privilege. You know, it's actually a privilege to pray. For about a decade now, every time I stand to teach or as I'm about to teach, I tell God, it's an honor. And I learned that from someone. It's not a right. It's not any God-given right. There are better people who preach God's word better than me, I think. I'm not the smartest person in the world. Amen. And I don't know the Bible that much. I'm still learning. But somehow, God has said, I'll use you. And that's a privilege. It is an honor. Don't think, have a sane estimate of yourself. Elijah said, I am the only one left who has not bowed to Baal. God, I'm doing you a favor here. I'm preserving your name in the land of Israel. I'm going to stand before the king. But let me run first. God said, what are you talking about? There are 7,000. 7,000 that you've not heard of. 7,000 you don't know of. Who have not bowed to Baal. Elijah must have been humbled. 7,000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's God telling him? You should count it a privilege. Try to get over familiar. Elijah was over familiar in that instance. And God quickly put him. Hey, boy. Be careful. You must not get to that tone. Are you listening to me? Eli got there. Got there. When people start becoming big and God is small. God says, I honor those who honor me. Sometimes you look at your life. Look at. And I'll give you some instances this morning. You look at some people and you wonder, that's why you are where you are. I'm not talking about material things, really. But if God really wants to meld into your material things, oh no, he can. You know what I taught you, grace of God and all of that. He's God Almighty. Amen. And he doesn't change. What can change is our perception of him. What can change is our knowledge of him. But he doesn't change. He owes no man nothing. Are you listening to me? Matthew's Gospel 10. In church this morning? All right, Matthew 10. Again, don't forget, I will honor those who honor me. What will happen to those who despise me? Let that ring in your head. First Samuel, that's 1 Samuel 2:30. It has ring in my head at least more than a decade now. Sometimes you have to quickly help yourself. I honor those who honor me. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We saw that with Esau. Esau said, what's in birthright? What's birthright? That God will use me. Because the birthright of Israel was the right to be God's spokesman in that generation. That's the birthright. That's what God gave to Abel. Amen? That's what God gave to Abraham. That's what Noah had. That's what Abraham had. That's what Isaac had that Ishmael did not have. Esau was the firstborn. So, by natural birth, Esau should get the blessing. But Esau said, blessing. What am I going to do with that? I did not believe as they talk like that. I've heard someone say something like that. I said, so there was a pastor on the screen, and the pastor said, I'm going to bless you, church. And the guy was saying something. Who does he think he is? You going to bless me? Who does he think he is? And then you wonder, why is your life like this? True. I said on Wednesday, I said, casually, people say, God bless you. And we have gotten so familiar with that phrase that we don't say amen. Especially because you hear it from the pastor every time. Oh, God bless you. No, wait. Calm. I'm saying, because you hear it every time. You know, you greet someone and the first statement is, oh, God bless you. Your parents, God bless you. And then we got that. At some point, we got so familiar with it that when you say, God bless you, say, oh, yes. God bless you, kinda. God bless you, and you're stopping the bike. You're stopping the taxi. Something has changed your perception. The name, if someone has said, in the same as I said, God bless, I said, Tinubu will send an email. Or, Elon Musk will send an email to you. You'd have paid more attention in that instance. Wait, what are you talking about? Which of my emails? How did they get it? Well, when they say, God bless you. You should. Don't get familiar. Don't. Matthew 10. Verse 12. So Jesus sent his disciples out in Matthew 10. He sent them out two by two. And he told them in verse 12. He said, when you come into a house, salute it. If the house be worthy, that is, if the house places value on you, let your peace come upon the house. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, depart out of that house or city and shake off the dust of your feet. Why? Because it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. He's telling you what will happen. Because they will be lightly esteemed. So it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that house. Are you listening? And the Bible says, cast not your pearls before swine. Don't give what is holy unto dogs. Jesus said that, red letters. Cast not your pearls before swine. Meaning, don't give precious things to people who don't value it. I gave you an instance last time out. I said, imagine giving an iPhone 16. That's the latest one, right? 16? 17 now. Interesting. Yeah, I'll use what I'm using, though. Nobody can rush me. If you like, release iPhone 180. If nothing happens to that one I'm using, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult to get me off it. Amen. I know we're in a generation where people fancy gadgets and all of that. I don't. Can the phone call? Yes. WhatsApp? Yes. That's all I need. Can you access my email? Yes. Very well, yes. I don't even need the camera. Hallelujah. I don't even need the camera. But here are some people who, you don't have employment yet. You are trusting God for your life. But you want to buy iPhone 17. You see kids, literally kids. You just finished university. And you're using iPhone 17. Where did you get the money from? And it's not your parent that bought it for you. Are you picking money? Amen. What's your about that? Use a akpopo. What are you doing? Are you into fraud? How did you get the money? The other day, myself and Bropan were talking about some Jambite, iPhone 16. Jambite. And if you go to their house, it's not like the parents, if they know the value of the iPhone 16, they'll have gone to sell it. Because they've not eaten. But that's all you want to use. That's where your value is. They will tell you, can we worship God this morning? Purr. But look at what God said about those people. Those who despise me, sooner or later, they'll be likely esteemed. You know, Jesus said something. He said, those who honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, they'll receive the prophet's reward. Jesus said that. He went to his hometown, and they regarded him as the son of the carpenter. So, is that not Jesus? The son of the carpenter. Like, who is he now that is holding crusades? And Jesus said, go and preach to them. Go and teach them. Those who honor a prophet in the name of a prophet can receive a prophet's reward. That means if you don't honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, you can't receive the prophet's reward. What you become, your worth, is based on what you value. If you don't value it, you can't become it. Are you listening to me? God's presence demands a response from you. Honor. There must be an honor response, a value response. What you value shows your worth. In Mark 4, Mark chapter 4, that's the next book. I've got to be fast now. Verse 24. And he said unto them, please, turn there. You have a Bible? Yeah, open to Mark 4. Mark 4, I'm waiting for you. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that asks, to him shall be given. And to him that asks not, from him shall be taken away that which he has. Interesting. Interesting. Remember that parable where Jesus said, they gave some talents. Right? And the one that was given one talent, what did he go and do with it? Huh? He went to bury it. And the one that was given five went to use it. And he had 10. And Jesus said, you see the one that had one? We'll take it. We'll take that one and give it to the one that has 10. Because he doesn't value it. Your worth, we reflect the things you valued. If you value God and you honor him, you will see it in your life. Some years ago, I had a friend who came over. I won't say a friend. We met some years ago in Ibadan. So he told me he wanted to start teaching people somewhere in Sapele. And I said, oh, that's beautiful. And I was going to encourage. I was actually encouraging already. That's beautiful. Go ahead. And all of that. If you need materials, if you need financial help, in a little way I can help, I will be able to help. And we can. Then he said something very remarkable. He said, every time I try to teach, it's like I don't know what I'm saying. He said, I can't explain it, but it's gibberish, both to me. I don't know about those who hear me. But it says gibberish. I didn't know the answer to give because I don't know the feeling. So I said, let's pray. Let us pray about it. And we pray. So as we were going, he said, I should pray for him. So as I was praying, God told me to tell him. He doesn't value it. So I told him, I don't know how to say this, but I don't know. Some of you have said, something told me. So I said, God told me directly that you don't value the word. So he started crying. And the real conversation now started. God is not going to give you what you don't value. He's not going to. Forget that Jacob deceived Esau. Jacob valued it. He wanted it. He saw God as worthy enough. Esau saw God as, if it happens, then fine. Now you wonder why people become so stagnant. They don't grow at all. They become dissatisfied with life. Because God is not worthy to them. They are coming to church, it's just, if I don't show, if I don't show, everybody's going to be asking and say, where are you, where are you? Not because you actually value God's presence, as it were. I do value it. I'm telling you, I'm the pastor, and I look forward to every single meeting because I know God is going to say something. I'm going to get better, actually. That's how to approach God. Not just living life. That's why it looks like not your own life in Jesus' name. Like the person's life does not have meaning. No purpose, no direction. Why? You don't value the one who gives it. You even value God's direction. You're a believer. Believer. You're having an affair with your boss. Now I say that as a word of knowledge. And take that warning from me if you are the one. And you don't see anything wrong with it. You don't see anything wrong with it. Suddenly, God's word does not actually mean anything to you. You will not be likely esteemed in Jesus' name. If God debates a man, we read that on Wednesday, right? He said, because you have done this, I will make you base in front of everybody. God is not petty, but he means what he says. His presence just demands that you say, here am I, Almighty God. You know what we mean when you say Almighty God? Hallelujah. You know, there are people in life who think, I remember there was a day, bro, David was asking me, David, don't mind, you will feature in a lot of, so, he works with me, we are colleagues, and he was in my office one day, and he was saying, sir, why is it that in this country now, we cannot just carry all the money? I know some of you have thought that before. All the money is billions that this politician has, and divide it among everybody equally. I know you have thought that before. Especially when you are broke. When you have money, you don't want to be equal. Why can't we just divide everything equally? Brother, we have 10 billion naira, and Robert, we have 10 billion naira, and Brother, we have 10 billion naira, like that. Sorry, you see, why you can't stop for my phone? Why you can't stop for? And like that, and like that. 10 billion. Should people try? And you think that is the idea of being fair? That's not fairness. That's not fair. You know what's fair? The ones who value it, you have more. Why would you give it to someone who does not value it? And that's why life generally we ensure that the person gets to the base. If you don't value money, you squander it on betting. Go. Over 9.10. You squander the money on betting. Life will find a way of debasing that person. Say, you don't value the money. I remember some years ago, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome said, and you might take it as, oh, this is off the chart. He said, don't squeeze money. But shall I've told you before. Eh? You can't find me squeezing money. You work with me. Have you ever seen me squeeze money? I don't squeeze money. He said, that value you must just have the value for it. To come to you. If you check your pocket, what you know? This is the way some people treat Bible. They are Bibles. What you claim as the word of God to you, primary word of God. If you don't hear any voice, if you don't see any vision, this is enough. Amen? If you don't hear any voice and see any vision, and there's no pastor to instruct you, if you read this, you will know the mind of God. But let's see that your Bible. You dust it every Sunday morning. The dust that can come out from it, they can use to form beach. You don't value it. When a sermon replays back in your memory, and you hear my voice. You know, I know some of you hear my voice. You just hear my voice. I said, that's nonsense. You just shut it up. Now, he's just doing what he has been sent to do. Maybe he has been sent to preach. Yes, I have been. I'm preaching, I will. For decades and decades and decades and decades to come. Where is your value? I worship you, Almighty God. And you're not worshiping him. Those of you music team, you can get so familiar that all you do is run parts and harmony. And I love that. But you should be ministering, as you're ministering to God's people, you're ministering to yourself. Else you become a signboard. You tell people this is the way and you don't go there. You tell people this is the truth and you don't, you're not there. You're not there. You're just pointing them to it. May you not become a signboard. In God's call, fairness is for those who value it. God's call is value. The one who was not faithful with the little, even that little will be taken away. Let me share one funny story with you. Some years ago, I think I was about 20. So that's way over a decade now. And 20 or 21. So I was invited to New Covenant Church. See, I go now. Yeah, around UI. To preach. And when I got there, I must have shared this story before. I had the picture on my Facebook. You can't access it, so don't worry. It was about 1,000 seater hall, and it was filled. And so I saw the agenda that after preaching, I will have to minister to the sick. So in the room where they gave me, call it pastor's office and all of that, as I asking God, I beg. God, I beg. Even if you not use me again, in the next 30 minutes, I just need that healing anointing. There for 10 minutes. And I was praying. Everything I was just saying is, more anointing, healing anointing, healing anointing, healing anointing. And I was praying in tongues. And I heard God talk to me, not a voice, from the inside. And he said, just be faithful with the one you have. I said, yeah. So faithful. I'll study about it. Yeah, faithful. I will be faithful. But you know what I need now? Well, you know what I need now? Not faithfulness. Healing. Healing anointing now. Healing anointing now. Healing anointing. I walk in it. I soak in it. So I quietened again to listen again. I said, when you get born again, every man has a measure of the healing anointing. That Mark 16 says, you lay your hands on the sick and the sick will be healed. I said, yes. Well, the one Kenneth Hagin has. And God said, again? How did I know that God rated him? I mentioned two people actually. I mentioned Hagin and Nora Roberts. It was later I found out that I should have started from somewhere else. Amen. But I'd read some books, so I felt Hagin and Nora Roberts. You understand? And God said, no. When you're faithful with the little you have and you value it, it becomes much. What does that imply? Those who don't value it would never amount to much. We need to look at our value system again. Do I actually value the things of God? Or am I an Eli? Because Eli too once valued it. Are you listening to me? Value it. Some don't value the things of the Spirit, for example. Sing in tongues. Let's just be fast and go home. As I'm teaching like this, that people feel, it's getting too long. But if you're watching a movie, you're seeing a movie, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, you think I don't know? Movie and Waje. They've gone from Koto Aye to Wednesday. So I say, thank you for the recommendation. After service. Olumo. You're seeing a movie. You know all the movies that have come out. The ones that will come out in December, you know. You watch season 1, season 2, season 3. Sometimes I wonder what's with movies and this generation. My generation. We are all this, Abby. I look at them at my workplace. Any small break, your phone is already in landscape. Any small break. And I was telling you the other time, David, I said, no, he's not there. He's not part of it. I know you watch movies, though, but not at work. He's too busy for that. So I told you that. I said, what's with this generation and movies? I have never in that workplace seen someone carry Bible. Abby, the same spirit. The same freedom that you have to see a movie during your break should make you carry your Bible. No. We are too familiar. We think we know what God is saying. Sometimes we think we have an idea of everything. But God is bigger than that. Jesus said in John 14, he said, those who love me and keep my commandment, my Father will love them. John 14, 21. Those who love me, my Father will love them. And we will show ourselves to them. So does that mean God might not show himself to me? Yes. Again? Yes. Isaiah 45, verse 15. He said, you are the God that hides himself. If you don't value him, he will hide himself. You won't see him. I pray for you, you will see him. I know God is always revealing himself to me. Okay? He can hide himself. Everyone say, an atheist. That he said, if God exists, you prove himself. What if he does not? What about no? What about no? Die ignorant. God does not owe you. there are fellow atheists, your fellow atheists, who just look at the night sky and they said, nah, someone did this. But you are there. God revealed himself. If he's going to, he will. If he does not want to, you have a no for an answer. He can hide himself if you don't value it. Someone asked me the question some years ago. He said, why is it that we don't see God in this generation the way the prophets saw him? I mean, burning bush, chariots of fire, and all of that. And I said, we have explained him away. With the advent of technology, we have explained those things away. Oh no, what God will just do now, he will talk to us from the spirit, from our inside. He can also show. Amen. You can see as Elijah saw. You can have Moses' kind of experience. If you follow them. But we don't. All we are looking for God to do is to give you material prosperity. That's all we are looking at. The average Christian today is in church so that God can meet his or her needs. So that I can make it. If they remove making it and they remove money from church, will you be in church? If they tell you that Jesus is not going to give you a dime, and what you sow, you will not reap. And when you sow, you just sow because of love of God. When you give, that it's not that God will give you anything. If they tell you that, will you still give? That means you were never given to God. Your average Christian doesn't value God that much. Yet we call ourselves Christians. And we expect to see God in full manifestation. No, we won't. Until we start valuing him. Until we put some honor to his name. Until we take off our shoes and say, we are on holy grounds. But no. Unlike Moses, some believers are still on their shoes. On holy grounds. On holy grounds. We need to put some value on it. Are you listening to me this morning? It says, I will honor those who honor me. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We saw it with David and Saul. Saul felt, what's God saying? All this God. There are people here, right now, who are feeling the same. And so, things of the spirit, and so. But we saw it with David. David knew about the presence of God. He said, you can take the kingdom away from me, but take not from me the joy of my salvation. Renew your spirit within me. Psalm 51. Don't take your presence from me. Saul was about, don't take the kingdom from me. Let me still be king, even if you are not with me. Value. Do you value the presence of God? If you do, then why don't you always seek his face? Why is prayer a last resort for you? It's when you have tried every other thing. You now remember that there's a Jesus somewhere. And say, help me, Lord. It's not an emergency ticket. It demands fellowship from you. He wants to know you. He wants to walk with you. Take off your shoes. Stand on holy ground. And you will never be likely esteemed. Lord, I won't take you for granted. I won't lose my wonder. You read the Bible a lot and you see a phrase that catches my attention so much. You see in Acts 9. That phrase, the fear of the Lord. How many times do we see in the Bible? The fear of God, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Do we actually know what the fear of the Lord means? In Acts 9, verse 31. Because now we think, it's an Old Testament phrase. In a new creation, sometimes we like to overestimate yourself. Remember, there was a time one pastor said, I'm not saying he's not a pastor, he's a pastor, but that was a great mistake he made. He said, we are not like Moses, who was in the dark. He said, we are not like Moses, who was in the dark. We are the Spirit of God. Moses in the dark. Who do you think you are? What do you think? Say, we are not like them in the New Testament. They don't have the Spirit of God. Who told you they don't have the Spirit of God? How was Abraham hearing? Who spoke to Jacob? You have more of the Spirit of God than David. I don't think so. I've told you before, they had the Spirit of God. And you can't even use that excuse of within and upon. I've taught that before.
Maybe I'll go on it again. You can't use it within an upon. That's elementary. If you're just getting saved, I'll use that to explain to you. But when we get to meet, you think Abraham didn't have the Spirit of God within? Let's take it very well. You think Abraham did not have the Spirit of God within? He was just walking. And it's only when it comes upon. What came upon? Is it just blow? It just came upon. In the New Testament, how does it come upon? From within. Might not be expressly stated, but read. Read how the Spirit of God dealt with them. And you know Elijah had it within. Elijah told you, he said it in a voice. He literally said he was not upon. He said, the Spirit, he said, God is not in the fire, it's not in the earthquake. That means it's not upon. He said it's in a voice. He's talking about the inward witness. And we explain all these things away by saying, oh, Moses was in the dark. You have taken away all of Moses' dealings and experience with God. That is in the dark. That's what you just said. And that's why we don't see it. The fear of the Lord is not an Old Testament thing. Acts 9:31. This is how you should live your life. It says, then the churches rest throughout all Judea. Please look at your Bibles. Don't look at me. That's one of the ways you must honor God. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Why are you looking at me? All Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And were edified. Now, he said the churches had rest and they were edified. Can we read the B part? And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Look at that. They were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You know the one we like? The comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's the one New Age Christians like. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. When I say go, it goes. Ah, when I lay my hands, the sick are recovered. Yeah! Comfort of the Holy Ghost. What it does within us. How he effects his word upon us. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's what we like. How about the fear of the Lord? You forgot that? This is how to live. This is how to be. How to take off your shoes. You live in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. The fear of the Lord. That reverence. That reverence. In Hebrews 12, the Bible of Hebrews describes when God showed up to Israel. Hebrews 12. I trust God that by the time we're done with these teachings, your reverence for the name of Jesus and for the things of God will be heightened. Amen. You won't see him as casual. In Hebrews 12, he writes down the experience of Israel with God. Verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, and unto blackness, and unto darkness, and the sound of trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if someone that is a beast touched the mountain, he shall be stoned, and trust with that. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come to Mount Zion. So what happened to Israel? God showed himself. They saw it so much that he said, No. Moses, you go and hear what God wants to say. They come and tell us. We don't know if we can survive. He comes here. How many of you have seen an elephant before? Anyone? You've not seen an elephant before. Ah. See you. Village people. An elephant can be this tall. Imagine you were stuck in a normal room size with an elephant. Elephants are not that dangerous, right? If you don't, they actually have a very high IQ. Lions don't. Lions don't care. A lion weighs as much as 350 to 450 kilograms. That's about 9 bags of cement. I mean, the weight. That's why he doesn't have to kill you. He just has to jump. He just has to jump upon you. You're gone. If they throw 9 bags of cement at you at once, we are going to be having brought faith attend to you. Amen. We'll have to actually look for a lot of fractures. 9 bags. A lion is that weight. The roar of a lion, if you schooled in UI, you know what I'm talking about. You will hear the roar from your hostel. Those who schooled in UI, can you bear me witness? And the zoo is far from the hostel. But if the lion wakes in the morning and roars, you will hear it all over the campus. University of Ibadan is big. So what you see on television does not really depict it. That animated voice is not it. If a lion roars where you are, you will almost melt. Imagine you are faced in this hall with a lion. A lion can be as tall as this, actually. So it's not dog. That way you look at it. he as tall as a car. And when it stretches, it's as tall as probably Steniola. Lions are big. If you were in the same room with a lion, how would you feel? How casual will you be? It's a lion. For God's sake, it's a lion. What am I supposed to do? I'll just continue my normal business. No. No, you suddenly know the Psalms. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I beg. Have you seen a bear before? A polar bear. It can be as tall as 10 feet. You're not casual around the bear. How about the blue whale? Imagine you're just swimming one day and you see the blue whale. The blue whale weighs about 300,000 tons. Let me give you the perspective. The tongue of a blue whale is the exact size of an elephant. The tongue of the blue whale is the size of a... In fact, not the size. It weighs the same with an elephant. How would you act? The whale probably doesn't even know you exist. He will probably not see you. Then look at how you react. Then how you react to God. If God shows himself physically in this room, none of us will be standing. None of us. The sound system will stop working. Angels show themselves. Angels. And humans bowed. John bowed. John had seen Jesus. John had revelation. He walked in things of the spirit. Angels. An angel showed himself. And John bowed. He said, I can't look. We saw it with Mary. We saw it countless times in the Old Testament. Gideon. If God shows himself physically, yet we call on the same God casually. Even the, some God, yay. Even put, you put dance that was originated from the world. You bring it in again. Yay! I'll break Dogula. You've gotten so casual. Something we will not do with animals. We've gotten so casual with the name of Jesus. And that's why every day, we probably will see less. If we get casual today, tomorrow, we'll see less of him. But if we honor him today, tomorrow, we'll see more. He will be clearer to us. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Pray for me as I close. How casual are you? God told Moses, you are too casual. Put on your shoes. The context of that, come on. The real context is, there should be some reverence. That's what God is saying. Where do you think you are? When you're in church, you're in church. We have come together in corporate fellowship and worship with the Spirit of God living in us. We put him among us. That should bring some reverence. Reverence to the way we sing. Reverence to what we say. How we listen. Those who have more will be given. That's what he said. Those who don't value it. He said, what they have will be taken away. What they think they have will be taken away. Do you value God's word? Do you value his things? Okay, but the Bible says, forget what the Bible says. Let's take the Bible out of this. Are we not in the world? Be careful. Be careful. Many have started like Saul. Humble. Saul said, I'm the least in my father's house. I'm a Benjamite. I'm the least. I'm the least of the tribe of Israel. Samuel said, don't cry. Don't cry. The same Saul got big in his own eyes. So big that God said to Samuel, Saul must not hear that you are going to anoint David. If God showed himself to Saul the way he did to Israel in the wilderness, he would gladly leave that throne in 30 seconds. Are you listening to me? God is not a fragment of our imagination. If he steps into this room, we can't contain him. We can't. We can't. And that's why you see any true worshiper, sometimes tears can flow. Sometimes you just go down on your knees. Sometimes your hands are just up. If you're still being told, you know, let's kneel down and worship, let's lift up our hands, you probably are not seeing him enough. The day you see him, you go on your knees. The day you see him, you bow. He is bigger than what people say. He's bigger than what I've thought. Infinite. Probably doesn't even describe him enough. Bible says he is the one who told the oceans where to stop. He gave the ocean a boundary. If God removes his running from the universe, we are gone.
said he holds the universe by the word of his power. Say, but I believe that if God exists, the space. Can't sit down. Do you know how vast the ocean is? Scientists say we have not seen 90% of the animals in the ocean. 90. So when you say the blue whale, the shark, they are saying they are white sharks. They are saying they are what them? Yes, deep sea creatures. They are just saying, you know, they don't even know what it looks like. At some point in the United States, they saw about dolphins, about thousands of them, dead at the shore. And it was reported that it looked like a creature poured out all of them, almost all of them. Just one creature. They call it the sea dragon or the sea monster or something. We don't know that. And God made all of that. And we just come to his presence and we just say, take off she is. Stand here in her. Stand here in honor. And you're not standing in honor. Do you know who he is? He does not have a beginning. He does not have an end. Every man is born one day and dies one day. But there's a God who does not have an end. He was here when Abel was here. He was here when Abraham was here. Spoke to Malachi. Spoke to Jacob. Spoke to Peter. Spoke to Paul. He was good. Timothy's God. Spoke to Reynold Bonnke, Kenneth Hagin, Smith Wigglesworth. He's still speaking today. When I'm no longer here on the face of this earth, he'll still be speaking. He's bigger than what we say. He's bigger than what we think. And if we dare to just honor him, we will see him more. He will reveal himself to us more if we dare to just honor. To not just be like Eli and get familiar. My father served him. My father's father served him. My father's father served him. I will serve him. And my sons too will serve him. God said, no longer. I take back that word. What was the word on Wednesday that we used? Your version. What did God say? It's here. It's there in your Bible. You change the Bible again. Ah. What was that word? I think I wrote it there. Then God says, be far from me. Who wrote it? Huh? He's dead. It's then. Disdain. Okay. No, when he said, okay. When he said, I have said it that you would stand before me on the days of your life, but no longer. That part, that phrase where he said, be far from me. I know disdain was when he said, those who hold me lightly will be in disdain. That part, I said it. We read it on Wednesday. God said, that's not going to hold anymore. The breath of man, the spirit of man is in his hands. I explained the concept of death some years ago. I told you, I said, there is no one dead in the eyes of God. He doesn't live in time. Amen. 1,000 years. It's like a day. 1,000 years. Has the earth even been for 1,000 years? There's a God. And he calls you by name. Like he called Moses. And he's demanding just one thing. Take off your shoes. Stand there in honor. Stand there in honor. See him as who he is. Big God. God, you'll never be small in my eyes. I see you for who you are. I show you reverence. You are Lord. I know if I honor you, honor me. Because your word doesn't fail. So I step into honor. I begin to value you. To value your things, your church, your word, to see you for who you are. In my private devotion,
I begin to see more of you. I begin to see more of you, more of you. You show yourself more to me. You speak to me the more. See, if you see him, you stop asking that question of what's the purpose of life. You will know it. There are questions only him can answer you. There are no pastors that have answers to. Find him. And like Paul said, he's not far from you. He said he's not far from you. So as your poet have said, he's all around you. Why don't we see him? Because we don't honor him enough. I'll leave you with the words again. Those who honor me, I'll honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Can we pray for ourselves this morning? You are beautiful beyond description. So marvelous for words. So wonderful for comprehension. Help me to see you, Lord, better. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Moses saw you. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty and throne. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. God, to all praise is to you. I stand in awe. I will not lack in honor. I will not treat you casually, Lord. You are the Lord of my life. I will not have a secret throne in my heart where another sits. No. Jesus is King. Still King. Will always be King. My fellowship will get better. My walk with you takes a new turn. Because I begin to see you clearly.